names of these roads are the road of Dharma, the road of Rajamahendra, the road of Kulakshekar, the road of Ilanadana, the road of Tiruvikram, the Tirubidi road of Mahamadigais, and the road of Ada Yajvala Indana. So it almost sounds like a brochure if you go into a city, yeah, like that. But these names are also, all the names of holy names, they're also very auspicious just to hear and to read about. So it's different than the map in London going to Trafalgar Square or Leicester Square, like that. The temple was founded before the reign of Dharmavarma, who reigned before Rajamahendra. Many celebrated kings like Kulakshekar and Yamunacharya, in between brackets Alabandaru, resided in the temple of Srirangam. Yamunacharya, Sri Ramanuja, Sudarsan Acharya and others also supervised the temple. The incarnation of the goddess of fortune, known as Goda Devi or Siandal, was one of the 12 Alvas, liberated persons known as Divya Suris. She was married to the deity of Lord Sri Ranganath, and later she entered into the body of the Lord. Jai Sri Jagannath Puri Subhanamarani Sri Sukunitai Sri Sri Radha Landanisvara Ki Jai. Haribo. An incarnation of Karmuka named Tirumanga, also one of the Alvars, acquired some money by stealing and built the fourth boundary wall of Sri Rangam. It is said that in the year 289 of the age of Kali, the Alvar of the name Tondara Dipadi was born. While engaged in devotional service, he fell victim to a prostitute. And Sri Ranganath, seeing his devotee so degraded, sent one of his servants with a golden plate to that prostitute. When the golden plate was discovered missing from the temple, there was a search, and it was found in the prostitute's house. When the devotee saw Ranganath's mercy upon this prostitute, his mistake was rectified. He then prepared the third boundary wall of the Ranganath temple and cultivated a tulsi garden there. There was also a celebrated disciple of Ramanujacharya known as Kuresh. Sri Ramapillai was the son of Kuresh, and his son was Vakvijayabhatta, whose son was Vedavyasbhatta or Sri Sudarsan Acharya. When Sudarsan Acharya was an old man, the Muslim attacked the temple of Ranganath, Muslims, and killed about 1,200 Sri Vaishnavas. At that time, the deity of Ranganath was transferred to the temple of Tirupati in the kingdom of Vijayanagara. The governor of Gingi, Gopanarayya, brought Sri Ranganath from the temple of Tirupati to a place known as Singha Brahma, where the Lord was situated for 3 years. In the year 1293 Saka, which is our time in 1371, the deity was reinstalled in the Ranganath temple. On the eastern wall of the Ranganath temple is an inscription written by Vedanta Deshika relating how Ranganath was returned to the temple. So some amazing things described here. Let me just go through it again. Actually, I have a picture of this temple in my kitchen. I like it very much. I really have the desire to visit it. So this year I will planning to. So here it is said that, you know, that a great devotee, he fell victim to a prostitute. And then the Lord, you know, that the Lord, he, by his mystic power, you know, he He transferred one of the golden plates of the altar, because there it's very opulent, huh? And everything is gold practically in some of the Indian temples. And just recently I read on the internet that there was a temple discovered, and an abandoned temple, which was from a rich family, and it found abandoned, and there were walls, they were like closed down with bricks. And so they have you read that this thing? And they broke down because it was so poor, so they wanted to break it down. And in so when they broke down the stones, and then they found there, like, not millions, but what is milliards of gold coins, all from the 13th century or 14th century, 15th century, and big diamonds, rubies, sapphires, like millions of money. And so now fortunately, you know, because the money belongs actually to the Lord, it was given by a rich family, but somewhere or other it was given to a Brahmin to worship. But then, you know, it happens all, there's a tendency to happen, there is a high standard, and then when the acharya, or when there is a son which is not that, you know, and devoted, and it gradually, and it's not, the knowledge is getting passed on that there is money, or maybe one of the Brahmins didn't have a son to give it to, and then afraid of thieves, maybe closed it down, and then the knowledge was lost. It was all this money. So, and then they said they're going to make it in a nice temple again, and they will make a nice grounds around it, but probably lots of money will be taken by the government, you know. So it's unfortunate. It shouldn't be, you know, even if it's so much more than it's needed, actually, but it belongs to God. So in days of yore, it was known, if it belongs to God, it belonged to God, you know. And no one would take it. No one in the right mind would take it like that. Even here in churches, you know, sometimes thieves steal the cup where they drink from, or the gold, the plate, or the thing where the with the holy water, like that. Sometimes they steal it as well, like that. And but in previous, you know, centuries, it was unheard of, because, you know, like no one dares to steal of the Lord, you know, like that. But nowadays, there's so many atheists, they think, why not? You know, it is just there in space, that pujari, or a cleaning lady, an old cleaning lady, and so let me just take the silver which is lying there. So that's why, you know, we have also gates, because people come with different motives here, just like he found out that his coat was stolen just recently. And then we saw on the video, we saw, because it's recorded, we saw actually an elderly gentleman my age, and he saw the coat, he looked in there, oh, beatbag. And instead of putting it on the hanger or whatever, he put it back in the coat. Hopefully he's going to chant on it, and there's some use to it, and he might become a devotee by it. It's like this, there's these people, they wander in and they steal, and it's just, you know, I mean, but also devotee, temple residents sometimes steal. One time we had a treasurer in Radhadesh, and then he gives notes with pencil or thing, and then one day he disappeared with quite a lot of money. You see, there's four kinds of people coming to the temple. Some they come to give, you know. Some are inquisitive. Hey, what is this all about? Some come off nothing to eat. Let me go to the hierarchy. Says, oh, I can stand the chanting. So I just come 5 to 1, you know, when it's almost finished, or like that, just to get a heap of prasadam and just get out of there again. And sometimes, just because of the prasadam, they get purified and become a devotee, you know, like that. And others, they are in distress, and they are very sad, you know, something went wrong, this one died, or this one left her or him, and they come to Krishna like that. So, and some are looking for the absolute truth, you see. And those who came because they had a good life outside, materially speaking, but there was something which was missing from, why am I here? What is the use of life? And of those, it is described that those searching for the truth, not necessarily for God, but for the truth, for the absolute truth, why am I here? And when you find out that it's actually a God, and that we are, you know, created by him, and that we have a loving relationship with him, then they become a devotee, and in general, they will never give up Krishna consciousness. But due to offenses, sometimes Krishna from within takes that knowledge away again, and then sometimes you become again a Mayavadi or an atheist even. You know, you might even start eating meat again. All kinds of cues. You know, these things happen. If you do something wrong against the devotees, the deities, Tulsi, then from within your heart is covered, and you lose your faith. In order to get faith, it takes a few years. It takes sometimes 4 to 7 years to develop a firm faith in the Lord. Because in the beginning, at least I had, and so occasionally I had some you heard something, and then. Did you have that in the beginning? Maybe not. Some of you not stalwart devotees. I had, you know, after 4 years and experiencing bliss, and still the mind goes, is it all true or really? Really? Like that. And like that. So, but that once you have really, I accept Krishna as God, he's the origin. And then, you know, even if you hear nonsense philosophy spoken very eloquently, then you still say, no, from within, you know, no. Sometimes you get confused and say, really? But then as soon, no, from within, you know, and that's the Lord in your heart who said, no, it's not true, you know, like that. So the Lord is very, very kind. And his pure devotee is also very kind. I left the, you know, during the Krum Court Festival, I left my Vyasa Puja book, All the Papa Disciples by Jayadvaita Maharaj and I think Ranshore, and maybe Prajumna, I don't know. And some Prajumna, they got it. They arranged a Vyasa Puja book for all the Papa disciples to write in. And there are also people write who are Vinarayana Maharaj or who are Ritviks or, you know, who are, you know, you don't know them. They are in the middle of nowhere somewhere. And they all have the opportunity to write, if it's not offensive or grievous to you know, to the movement, etc., then it's published. And so you hear stories and love, some wonderful stories of the mercy. And there was one story but actually I don't know if I read it in there, but there was one story. And it was by Mekala, but Mekala passed away, so maybe it was somewhere else I read it. So Mekala, you know Mekala, she passed away last year, isn't it? Or 2 years ago. Time flies so by. So she was working in a restaurant in New York, Govinda's. And then there was this a boy who joined maybe 16 years of age, don't want to mention names. And then when he was about 17, he was requested by Srila Prabhupada to go with some other devotee to a country in another continent to start a movement. You see, in those times, just like here, like 3 Grihastha couples came with no money, you know, practically, and to start, no money, can you imagine? You know, would you join the temple if there's no money, hardly any food? You know, you have like, you know, water for breakfast with a little oats in it. You know, like grovel. You know, sometimes no heating. You know, not this, not like that. No opulence. Very austere. Sometimes hungry even. You know, and to beg for the food. And if you go in Harinam, sometimes they throw a bucket of urine on you. Really? No, I'm not joking. It happened. Or if you go to the market, they throw rotten tomatoes at you. Like that. Or you were arrested. We were all arrested. When we go on Harinam Sankirtan, when we reached Leicester Square, then we saw the blue vans coming with these barred windows at the end. Then we all dispersed in different directions because they came to arrest us. Yeah. You know, just like that. We were all arrested. And everywhere in Holland, Luxembourg, all over the world, because, you know, people were complaining and they didn't know what it was. And then, so Prabhupada said, so when you get arrested, just chant Hare Krishna. And then at one point, the police get fed up and they realize actually they're good people, you know. So it took a few years. And I think most of my god brothers and god sisters, they have been in prison at one time. You know, and like, so, you know, they take your Brahman thread away, but afraid that you might hang yourself on it. Like that. And not even that, sometimes my god brother, or I think so was only one, or at least the few followers there, they were getting electric shock treatment, up to the point that they lost their minds. You know, that because you can't tolerate, your body can't tolerate some. So the Lord is very merciful. Oh yeah, I want to finish the story. So this devotee, you know, so he went there and very, like at 17 years old, he went to a continent. And he was only with one person there, and difficult, no money and no association. And yeah, and being young, and etc., etc. He left, and he left with actually some money. So the other Prabhu was left without any money, you know. So which was even harder for him. But then some other this devotee ended up in India, I think, and then he gave the money, or is this another story? I mixed them up, and gave the money back. But anyway, he ended up in New York, still visiting the restaurant, but complaining, you know, that due to Prabhupada, he was, you know, he gave up his studies and now he has no career, and you know, sometimes it happens, you know, devotees join. And then they're here for 5 years or 10 years even, and then they moan afterwards. Now I'm working on the underground. I don't have any qualification. You know, I wish I'd never joined. They like that. Many of them, you know, but many think, well, you know, I left also in 85, but I never thought that I lost my material career because everyone, when I was young, you know, they were famous. They had a name being an actor. They had names at that time, of those, you know, who I played with on stage in 72. And by 85, I was a nobody, so, you know. But I know for my spiritual life, my spiritual bank balance, it's there, you know. So what's the use? Who cares anyway? So it's a little painful, but, you know, because it's a little painful that, you know, you're qualified, but you have no qualifications. That's the frustration. You know, like when you've been in a temple living for 10 years, you become very learned and very, you know, your intelligence is sharpened. But if you don't have the papers, you know, then you have to go, in order to become a teacher, you have to go to, you know, like all these things is useless, what you've learned, your qualifications. You can't say, oh, I was for 10 years, I was guest master in the temple. Even if you would be a receptionist, they, you know, they might not consider it like proper. So this boy, he was even complaining about Prabhupada, that the blah 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 blah, and then so all the devotees avoided him because he was so against Srila Prabhupada. You know, no one wants to hear, you know, criticism against Srila Prabhupada. But but Amekala still, you know, wanted to give him some association. So one day in 75, I think 75 or 76, Srila Prabhupada came to New York, and she said, oh, Prabhupada comes. And I said, come now. And it was in the point so that I think that he was even eating meat, you know, so that far off he was. But still he came to the temple, maybe because he knew people or whatever, or he still had a taste for prasadam as well. So then he was even like eating meat in that story, what I read was. So then he thought, oh, Prabhupada come. You know, he did like this. So anyway, he went there anyway, and he was standing there in the back. So So when Srila Prabhupada came out of the car, he immediately spotted him. And he said, "Oh, so you're going to cook for me?" He said, "You're going to cook for me, no?" I said, "Okay." Then he went. So even, you know, like even he was so like spiritually fallen, then Prabhupada, I mean, he's the guru. He takes the sin on him anyway. So, you know, if he decides, who are others to criticize, you see? And that is the mercy. That is the wonderfulness of the Lord. That they never forget. Yeah. So we continue with the rest of the purport. There is a story because, you know, I didn't look at the purport. It's a pity because I know I've read this story, but I forgot who he was. Quraysh, is that the strong person who was blinded? Yeah? Can you tell? You know the story? Do you know it a little? Yeah, yeah, the clothes. Yeah. So at one point there was Ramanuja was in danger, and so they were all around the temple to kill him. And then this devotee, they changed clothes. So he took the sannyas clothes while he was a householder, and Ramanuja took the white clothes, Acharya. And then I think did they took his eyes out, or was that someone else?
Huh?
Yeah. And whose eyes were taken out?
Both of them.
So you see, and then you see here also, you read here. So you see, so it is not when you become a devotee that everything becomes peaceful. No, because many people, "Oh, temple so peaceful." No. Ask Janitai, ask the Sankirtan leader, ask the head pujari. They are full of anxiety. Complete in anxiety. Yeah. You know, look, these hands are already shaking. No, but the point is that you can take the anxiety so far, and then you say, "Oh, Krishna, please, Prabhupada, help me. You know, I've reached a point from, you know, now I need, please, give me some manpower, give me some help." And then it will come in general. But sometimes Krishna is a little tricky, you know, because he wants to see how far you can go, you know, how far you can tolerate, you see, because he's polishing you. You have to make you a diamond. And this polishing is these things when everything goes wrong. And, "Oh, no. And then you tolerate and you continue. And by this continuance, you shine your devotional heart, you know. And in this way, you know, like that. It's just test of the Lord. So in here, in lowering the purport, it's written that that at one point, let me see, they killed about... The Muslims attacked the temple and killed about 1,200 Vaishnavas. 1,200. You think, where's the Lord? Why does this happen? You don't know. So you don't know. Sometimes these things happen. Like I read the second book of Vyasaki. I just finished it. And it was mentioned about in Vrindavan at one point, there was a young girl of age of 16, and she was the daughter of Hell's Angel guy, either the leader or one of the Hell's Angels. And she was attracted to the movement. And actually she was attracted to one of the brahmacharis. So when they found out that they were going to Vrindavan, she by hook or crook, I don't know how she did it, she went to Vrindavan. New Vrindavan. And so that at one point, these Hell's Angels, they came and they with shotguns, and they start shooting. And even like there's a devotee, a Dutch devotee, he actually served here in the restaurant for a few years, and he was shot. And no, I want to try to remember his name. Bidhan Chandra. And because, you know, he was shot by these little things of
plumbum in Latin. How you call that? Lead. Lead. You know this little lead hail, huh? Yeah, and because of that, he developed lead poisoning, which he got from leukemia. So he died already in the 80s. So that, and you know, so it can happen here also, you know. But the Lord, you know, anything is possible. Anything is possible. So sometimes you even are shot. It's not loving stock. Just like in Africa, one of the African countries, you know, my god sister who was killed off by this big demon, and like that. So she was, because the men were going to be shot, and she was not going to be shot, but she said, "No, you can't do that. You can't shoot the devotees of the Lord." And she was very outrageous, and then he shot her as well. So like that. So it is, you know, it doesn't mean that if you're a devotee that you always be safe. You know, one time there was a Harinam party going out, and then there was one girl, she was hit. Someone hit her, and then she lost faith. How can I be hit? I'm on Harinam. Yeah? The Lord doesn't protect me. Oh, he doesn't exist. That's what Prabhupada said about the Second World War, when the German ladies went to the church, and other ladies from other countries, "Please let my son come back from the battlefield, let my husband come back from the battlefield." And if they didn't come back, "Oh, you don't exist." So many became atheists after the war. So, you see, so the Lord is always testing you. You know, you see, like that. And sometimes you even have to give up your life. And how far? I mean, you can try to save your life, but hook or crook. You know, like in the case of for instance, Peter in the story of Jesus. You know, when the Romans came, "Are you one of those Jesus people?" And he said, "No." Remember, and Jesus said to him before the cock crows, "You will," how you say that? Deny me three times. You know, and he said, "No, I don't know him. No, I have nothing to do with him. You really sure?" No. And then, "What? But why not? Why not lie to save your life? There's no problem with that. Why not save your life? I mean, I would lie. Why not? If you can save your life, no, I have nothing to do with the Krishnas. You know, you don't necessarily. If you want to die, okay, yes, shoot me. You know, but if you think, well, I can do something worthwhile and I don't want to get killed, you know, like that. It's not necessarily you have to speak the truth to people. Just like here, it's described that a thief stole money to build a wall. So there's even another story of, maybe also from Ramanuja, or then he had a group of thieves stealing. And or they were stealing, and then at one point he put them all in a boat, and then he got the boat to sink, you know. But you can only steal if you give everything to Krishna, you know. But most people steal for themselves, you know, like that. But better not to do it. It's not to do it, because we live in a country which is not, we don't have a Vaishnava ruler, you see. So because it's a law of God. Stealing is bad. But because everything belongs to God, if you steal for God, it's not bad. But because we live they don't have this concept, then it's bad, and then they will think bad, and we have bad newspaper articles. You know, like in 1975 or 76 in Germany, they were collecting for the starving children in India, and it didn't go to India. You know, and then people were complaining, and then they found out, and there was bad PR in Germany. And they also put, when Srila Prabhupada came, they put "Der Führer kommt." Well, the Führer is the name of Adolf Hitler. So they put a poster of Prabhupada with "Der Führer kommt," and it was like 10 years after the war, 20 years after the war. So if people were outraged, you know, just the name "Der Führer" brought back all the time from the war, you know. So devotees all over the world, we made so many mistakes, you know. And it can still happen, you know, because like that, intelligence can be taken away by Krishna or by Maya, by both, like that. So are there any questions, comments? Yes, Prabhu. I'm a little deaf now.
I just caught something in the purport that you read. I wonder if anyone knew any more about it. It said someone was married to the deity.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yes. I read that story, but also... Yeah. That was a princess. I've read it somewhere. Let me just go back. Here. She was an incarnation of the goddess of fortune, known as Godavari or Sri Andal. And the Alvars, I've read about it, but I forgot. That's why I should have prepared a class. I'm sorry. She was married, so she was a princess, and her father wanted to marry her off, but she didn't want to marry, and then she made an arrangement. And so in this way, she was just in the temple all day and serving the deity, and she just made herself as the wife of the Lord. And then the Lord actually accepted her, probably. And she was married to the deity of Lord Shri. So she was actually married. And later she entered into the body of the Lord. So you see, who believes that? That she went into the body of the deity. Can you believe that? Who? Who doesn't believe it? Tell me truthfully. So anything is possible. You know, you can go like this, and the floor can go like this, and you all fall in, or not. Or, you know, and the Lord can do anything. He can go like this, and he can take you all back to the spiritual world, just in your same body, and get spiritualized. Just like when Lord Ramachandra, you know, he went up to heaven, or up to his place, and the whole city of Ayodhya, everyone went there, whoops, he just took them along. And that is so amazing, you know, that anything and everything is possible. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, by whose mercy we are able to hear all these wonderful pastimes. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj ki jai. Hari Hari Bol.